Nervous, I cleared my throat. I didn't let you fall because I'm not like you. I'm not saying that I'm not like humans, because there are others here who would do the same. There are kind and good people here. People like your brother and Jeb and Doc. I'm saying that I'm not like you personally. Kyle stared at me for a minute and then chuckled.
Ouch, he said, still laughing.
He turned away from us then, his message given, and walked back to get some water.
Life for a life, he called over his shoulder.
I wasn't sure I believed him. Not sure at all. Humans were good liars. Chapter 37 Wanted. There was a pattern to the wins. If Jared and Kyle played together, they won. If Jared played with Ian, then that team would win. It seemed to me that Jared could not be defeated until I saw the brothers play together. At first it seemed to be a strained thing, for Ian at least, playing as teammates with Kyle. But after a few minutes of running in the dark, they fell into a familiar pattern, a pattern that had existed since long before I'd come to this planet. Kyle knew what Ian would do before Ian did it, and vice versa. Without having to speak, they told each other everything. Even when Jared pulled all the best players to his side, Brant, Andy, Wes, Aaron, Lily, and Maggie as goalie, Kyle and Ian were victorious.
Okay, okay, Jeb said, catching Aaron's goal attempt with one hand and tucking the ball under his arm. I think we all know the winners. Now, I hate to be a party pooper, but there's work waiting. And to be honest, I'm bushed.
There were a few half-hearted protests and few moans, but more laughter. No one seemed too upset to have the fun end. From the way a few people sat down right where they were and put their heads between their knees to breathe, it was clear Jeb wasn't the only one who was tired out. People began to drift out in twos and threes. I scooted to one side of the corridor's mouth, making room for them to pass, probably on their way to the kitchen. It had to be past time for lunch, though it was hard to mark the hour in this black hole. Through the gaps in the line of exiting humans, I watched Kyle and Ian. When the game was called, Kyle had raised his hand for a high five, but Ian had stalked past him without acknowledging the gesture. Then Kyle caught his brother's shoulder and spun him around. Ian knocked Kyle's hand away. I tensed for a fight, and it seemed like one at first. Kyle threw a punch toward Ian's stomach. Ian dodged it easily, though, and I saw that there was no force behind it. Kyle laughed and used his superior reach to rub his fist into Ian's scalp. Ian smacked that hand away, but this time he halfway smiled.
Good game, bro, I heard Kyle say. You've still got it. You're such an idiot, Kyle, Ian answered. You got the brains, I got the looks. Seems fair.
Kyle threw another half-strength punch. This time Ian caught it and twisted his brother into a headlock. Now he was really smiling, and Kyle was cussing and laughing at the same time. It all looked very violent to me. My eyes narrowed, tight with the stress of watching. But at the same time, it brought to mind one of Melanie's memories. Three puppies rolling on the grass, yapping furiously, and baring their teeth as if their only desire was to rip out their brother's throats. Yes, they're playing, Melanie confirmed. The bonds of brotherhood go deep. As they should. This is right. If Kyle really doesn't kill us, this will be a good thing.
If, Melanie repeated morosely. Hungry?
I looked up, and my heart stopped beating for a slightly painful moment. It seemed that Jared was still a believer. I shook my head. This gave me the moment I needed to be able to speak to him. I'm not sure why, since I've done nothing besides sit here, but I'm just tired. He held out his hand. Get a hold of yourself, Melanie warned me. He's just being courteous. You think I don't know that? I tried to keep my hand from shaking as I reached for his. He pulled me carefully to my feet, to my foot, really. I balanced there on my good leg, not sure how to proceed. He was confused, too. He still held my hand, but there was a wide space between us. I thought of how ridiculous I would look, hopping through the caves, and felt my neck get warm. My fingers curled around his, though I wasn't really using him for support.
Where to?
I frowned. I don't really know. I suppose there's still a mat by the in the storage area. He frowned back, liking that idea no better than I did. And then a strong arm was under my arms, supporting my weight.
I'll get her where she needs to go, Ian said.
Jared's face was careful, the way he looked at me when he didn't want me to know what he was thinking. But he was looking at Ian now.
We were just discussing where exactly that would be. She's tired. Maybe the hospital?
I shook my head at the same time Ian did. After the past horrible days spent there, I didn't think I could bear the room I'd once misguidedly feared, especially Walter's empty bed.
I've got a better place for her, Ian said. Those cots aren't much softer than rock, and she's got a lot of sore spots.
Jared still held my hand. Did he realize how tightly he was gripping it? The pressure was starting to get uncomfortable, but he didn't seem aware, and I certainly wasn't going to complain.
Why don't you get lunch? Jared suggested to Ian. You look hungry. I'll take her wherever you had planned.
Ian chuckled, a low, dark sound.
I'm fine. And honestly, Jared, Wanda needs a bit more help than a hand. I don't know if you're comfortable enough with the situation to give her that. You see,
Ian paused to lean down and pull me quickly up into his arms. I gasped as the movement tugged at my side. Jared didn't free my hand. My fingertips were turning red.
She's actually had enough exercise for one day, I think. You go on ahead to the kitchen.
They stared at each other while my fingertips turned purple.
I can carry her,
Jared finally said in a low voice.
Can you?
Ian challenged. He held me out, away from his body. An offer. Jared stared at my face for a long minute. Then he sighed and dropped my hand.
Ow, that hurts, Melanie complained.
She was referring to the sudden lance of pain that shot through the general region of my chest, not the return of blood to my fingers.
Sorry. What do you want me to do about it?
He's not yours.
Yes, I know that.
Ow.
Sorry.
I think I'll tag along, Jared said, as Ian, with a tiny triumphant smile hovering around the edges of his mouth, turned and headed toward the exit. There's something I want to discuss with you. Suit yourself.
Jared didn't discuss anything at all as we walked through the dark tunnel. He was so quiet I wasn't sure he was still there. But when we broke out into the light of the cornfield again, he was right beside us. He didn't speak until we were through the big plaza, until there was no one around but the three of us.
What's your take on Kyle? He asked Ian.
Ian snorted.
He prides himself on being a man of his word. Usually I would trust a promise from him. In this situation, I'm not letting her out of my sight.
Good. It will be fine, Ian, I said. I'm not afraid.
You don't have to be. I promise. No one is ever going to do something like this to you again. You will be safe here.
It was hard to look away from his eyes when they blazed like that. Hard to doubt anything he said.
Yes, Jared agreed. You will.
He was walking just behind Ian's shoulder. I couldn't see his expression. Thanks, I whispered. No one spoke again until Ian paused at the red and gray doors that leaned over the entrance to his cave.
Would you mind getting that?
Ian said to Jared, nodding toward the doors. Jared didn't move. Ian turned around so we could both see him. His face was careful again.
Your room? This is your better place?
Jared's voice was full of skepticism.
It's her room now.
I bit my lip. I wanted to tell Ian that of course this wasn't my room, but I didn't get a chance before Jared began questioning him.
Where's Kyle staying? With Wes, for now. And you? I'm not exactly sure.
They stared at each other with appraising eyes. "Ian, this is..." I started to say.
"Oh," he interrupted, as if just remembering me, as if my weight was so insignificant that he'd forgotten I was here. "You're exhausted, aren't you? Jared, could you get the door, please?"
Wordlessly, Jared wrenched the red door back with a bit too much force and shoved it on top of the gray one. I now really saw Ian's room for the first time, with the noon sun filtering down through the narrow cracks in the ceiling. It wasn't as bright as Jamie and Jared's room, or as tall. It was smaller, more proportionate, roundish, sort of like my hole, only 10 times the size. There were 2 twin mattresses on the floor, shoved against opposite walls to make a narrow aisle between them. Against the back wall there was a long, low wooden cupboard. The left side had a pile of clothes on top, 2 books, and a stack of playing cards. The right side was completely empty, though there were shapes in the dust that indicated this was a recent occurrence. Ian set me carefully down on the right mattress, arranging my leg and straightening the pillow under my head. Jared stood in the doorway, facing the passageway.
"That okay?" Ian asked me.
"Yes."
"You look tired."
"I shouldn't be. I've done nothing but sleep lately."
"Your body needs sleep to heal."
I nodded. I couldn't deny that it was hard to hold up my eyelids.
"I'll bring you food later. Don't worry about anything."
"Thank you. Ian?"
"Yeah?"
"This is your room," I mumbled. "You'll sleep here, of course."
"You don't mind?"
"Why would I?"
"It's probably a good idea. Best way to keep an eye on you. Get some sleep."
"Okay."
My eyes were already closed.
He patted my hand, and then I heard him get to his feet. A few seconds later, the wooden door clunked softly against stone.
"What do you think you're doing?" Melanie demanded.
"What? What did I do now?"
"Wanda, you're mostly human. You must realize what Ian will think of your invitation."
"Invitation?"
I could see the direction of her thoughts now.
"It's not like that. This is his room. There are 2 beds here. There aren't enough sleeping areas for me to have my own space. Of course we should share. Ian knows that."
"Does he?" "Wanda, open your eyes. He's starting to... How do I explain it so that you'll understand right? To feel about you... the way you feel about Jared. Can't you see that?"
I couldn't answer for 2 heartbeats.
"That's impossible," I finally said.
"Do you think what happened this morning will influence Aaron or Brant?" Ian asked in a low voice from the other side of the doors. "You mean Kyle getting a bye?"
"Yeah.
They didn't have to do anything before. Not when it looked so likely that Kyle would do it for them."
"I see your point. I'll speak to them."
"You think that will be enough?" Ian asked.
"I've saved both their lives on more than one occasion. They owe me. If I ask them for something, they'll do it."
"You'd bet her life on that?"
There was a pause.
"We'll keep an eye on her," Jared finally said.
Another long silence.
"Aren't you going to go eat?" Jared asked.
"I think I'll hang out here for a bit. How about you?"
Jared didn't answer.
"What?" Ian asked. "Is there something you want to say to me, Jared?"
"The girl in there,"
Jared said slowly.
"Yes?"
"That body doesn't belong to her."
"Your point?"
Jared's voice was hard when he answered.
"Keep your hands off it."
A low chuckle from Ian.
"Jealous, Hal?" "That's not really the issue."
"Really?"
Ian was sarcastic now.
"Wanda seems to be, more or less, cooperating with Melanie. It sounds like they're almost on friendly terms. But obviously Wanda's making the decisions. What if it were you? How would you feel if you were Melanie? What if you were the one invaded that way? What if you were trapped and someone else was telling your body what to do? if you couldn't speak for yourself. Wouldn't you want your wishes as much as they could be known, respected? At the very least, by other humans?
Okay, point taken. I'll keep that in mind.
What do you mean you'll keep that in mind? Jared demanded.
I mean that I'll think about it.
There's nothing to think about, Jared retorted.
I knew how he would look from the sound of his voice, teeth clenched, jaw strained.
The body and the person locked inside it belong to me.
You're sure that Melanie still feels that
Melanie will always be mine, and I will always be hers?
Always! Melanie and I were suddenly at opposite ends of the spectrum. She was flying, elated. I was not. We waited anxiously through the next silence.
But what if it were you? Ian asked in little more than a whisper.
What if you were stuffed in a human body and let loose on this planet only to find yourself lost among your own kind? What if you were such a good person that you tried to save the life you'd taken, that you almost died trying to get her back to her family? What if you then found yourself surrounded by violent aliens who hated you and hurt you and tried to murder you over and over again?
His voice faltered momentarily.
What if you just kept doing whatever you could to save and heal these people despite that? Wouldn't you deserve a life, too? Wouldn't you have earned that much?
Jared didn't answer. I felt my eyes getting moist. Did Ian really think so highly of me? Did he really think I'd earned the right to a life here?
Point taken, Ian pressed. I'll have to think about that one. Do that, but still.
Ian interrupted him with a sigh.
Don't get worked up. Wanda isn't exactly human, despite the body. She doesn't seem to respond to physical contact the same way a human would.
Now Jared laughed.
Is that your theory? What's funny? She is quite capable of responding to physical contact,
Jared informed him, his tone suddenly sober again.
She's human enough for that. Or her body is, anyway.
My face went hot. Ian was silent.
Jealous, O'Shea?
Actually, I am.
Surprisingly so.
Ian's voice was strained.
How would you know that?
Now Jared hesitated.
It was sort of an experiment.
An experiment?
It didn't go the way I thought it would. Mel punched me.
I could hear that he was grinning at the memory, and I could see in my head the little lines fanning out around his eyes.
Melanie punched you? It sure wasn't Wanda. You should have seen her face. What? Hey, Ian, easy, man.
Did you think for one moment what that must have done to her?
Ian hissed.
Mel? No, you fool. Wanda. Done to Wanda?
Jared asked, sounding bewildered by the idea.
Oh, get out of here. Go eat something. Stay away from me for a few hours.
Ian didn't give him a chance to answer. He yanked the door out of his way, roughly but very quietly, and then slid into his room and put the door back in its place. He turned and met my gaze. From his expression, he was surprised to find me awake. Surprised and chagrined. The fire in his eyes blazed and then slowly dimmed. He pursed his lips. He cocked his head to one side, listening. I listened, too, but Jared's retreat made no sound. Ian waited for another moment, then sighed and plunked down on the edge of his mattress, across from me.
I guess we weren't as quiet as I thought, he said.
Sound carries in these caves, I whispered. He nodded.
So, he finally said, what do you think?
Chapter 38. Touched. What do I think about what?
About our discussion out there,
Ian clarified. What did I think about it? I didn't know. Somehow Ian was able to look at things from my perspective, my alien perspective. He thought I had earned a right to my life. But he was jealous of Jared? He knew what I was. He knew I was just a tiny creature fused into the back of Melanie's brain. A worm, as Kyle had said. Yet even Kyle thought Ian had a crush on me. On me? That wasn't possible. Or did he want to know what I thought about Jared? My feelings on the experiment? More details about my responses to physical contact? I shuddered. Or my thoughts on Melanie? Melanie's thoughts on their conversations? Whether I agreed with Jared about her rights? I didn't know what I thought about any of it. I really don't know, I said. He nodded, thoughtful.
That's understandable.
Only because you are very understanding. He smiled at me. It was odd how his eyes could both scorch and warm, especially with a color that was closer to ice than fire. They were quite warm at the moment.
I like you very much, Wanda.
I'm only just beginning to see that. I guess I'm a little slow.
It's a surprise to me, too.
We both thought that over. He pursed his lips.
And I suppose that is one of the things you don't know how you feel about?
No, I mean, yes, I don't know.
That's okay. You haven't had long to think about it. And it must seem strange.
I nodded. Yes. More than strange. Impossible.
Tell me something, Ian said after a moment.
If I know the answer.
It's not a hard question.
He didn't ask it right away. Instead, he reached across the narrow space and picked up my hand. He held it in both of his for a moment, and then he trailed the fingers of his left hand slowly up my arm from my wrist to my shoulder. Just as slowly, he pulled them back again. He looked at the skin of my arm rather than my face, watching the goosebumps that formed along the path of his fingers.
"Does that feel good or bad to you?" he asked.
"Bad," Melanie insisted. "But it doesn't hurt," I protested. "That's not what he's asking. When he says good, oh, it's like talking to a child." "I'm not even a year old, you know. Or am I now?"
I was sidetracked, trying to figure out the date.
Melanie was not distracted. "Good, to him, means the way it feels when Jared touches us." The memory she provided was not one from the caves. It was in the Magic Canyon at sunset. Jared stood behind her and let his hands follow the shape of her arms, from her shoulders to her wrists. I shivered at the pleasure of the simple touch. "Like that."
"Oh."
"Wanda?"
"Melanie says bad,"
I whispered. "What do you say?"
"I say I don't know."
When I could meet his eyes, they were warmer than I expected. "I can't even imagine how confusing this all must be to you."
It was comforting that he understood. "Yes, I'm confused."
His hand traced up and down my arm again. "Would you like me to stop?"
I hesitated. "Yes," I decided. "That, what you're doing, makes it hard for me to think. And Melanie is angry at me. That also makes it hard to think."
"I'm not angry at you. Tell him to leave."
"Ian is my friend. I don't want him to leave."
He leaned away, folding his arms across his chest. "I don't suppose she'd give us a minute alone."
I laughed. "I doubt it." Ian tilted his head to one side, his expression speculative.
"Melanie Strider?" he asked, addressing her.
We both started at the name.
Ian went on. "I'd like the chance to speak with Wanda privately, if you don't mind. Is there any way that could be arranged?"
"Of all the nerve! You tell him I said no chance in hell. I do not like this man." My nose wrinkled up.
"What did she say?"
"She said no."
I tried to say the words as gently as they could be said.
And that she doesn't like you.
Ian laughed.
I can respect that. I can respect her. Well, it was worth a try.
He sighed.
Kind of puts a damper on things, having an audience.
What things? Mel growled.
I grimaced. I didn't like feeling her anger. It was so much more vicious than mine.
Get used to it.
Ian put his hand on my face.
I'll let you think about things, okay? So you can decide how you feel.
I tried to be objective about that hand. It was soft against my face. It felt nice. Not like when Jared touched me, but also different from the way it felt when Jamie hugged me. Other. It might take a while. None of this makes any sense, you know, I told him.
He grinned. I know.
I realized, when he smiled then, that I wanted him to like me. The rest, the hand on my face, the fingers on my arm, I still wasn't sure at all about those. But I wanted him to like me, and to think kind things about me, which is why it was hard to tell him the truth. You don't really feel that way about me, you know, I whispered. It's this body. She's pretty, isn't she?
He nodded. She is. Melanie is a very pretty girl, even beautiful.
His hand moved to touch my bad cheek, to stroke the rough, scarring skin with gentle fingers.
In spite of what I've done to her face.
Normally I would have denied that automatically, reminded him that the wounds on my face weren't his fault. But I was so confused that my head was spinning and I couldn't form a coherent sentence. Why should it bother me that he thought Melanie was beautiful? You've got me there. My feelings were no clearer to her than they were to me. He brushed my hair back from my forehead.
But pretty as she's a stranger to me. She's not the one I care about.
That made me feel better, which was even more confusing. Ian, you don't... Nobody here separates us the way they should. Not you, not Jamie, not Jeb. The truth came out in a rush, more heated than I'd meant it to be. You couldn't care about me. If you could hold me in your hand, me, you would be disgusted. You would throw me to the ground and grind me under your foot. His pale forehead creased as his black brows pulled together.
Not if I knew it was you.
I laughed without humor. How would you know? You couldn't tell us apart. His mouth turned down. It's just the body, I repeated.
That's not true at all, he disagreed. It's not the face, but the expressions on it. It's not the voice, but what you say. It's not how you look in that body, but the things you do with it. You are beautiful.
He moved forward as he spoke, kneeling beside the bed where I lay and taking my hand again in both of his.
I've never known anyone like you.
I sighed. Ian, what if I'd come here in Magnolia's body?
He grimaced and then laughed. Okay, that's a good question. I don't know.
Or Wes's.
But you're female. You yourself are.
And I always request whatever a planet's equivalent is. It seems more right. But I could be put into a man and I would function just fine.
But you're not in a man's body.
See? That's my point. Body and soul. Two different things in my case.
I wouldn't want it without you.
You wouldn't want me without it. He touched my cheek again and left his hand there, his thumb under my jaw.
But this body is part of you, too. It's part of who you are. And unless you change your mind and turn us all in, it's who you will always be.
Ah, the finality of it. Yes, I would die in this body. The final death. And I will never live in it again, Melanie whispered. It's not how either of us planned our future, is it?
No. Neither of us planned to have no future.
Another internal conversation? Ian guessed.
We're thinking of our mortality.
You could live forever if you left us.
Yes, I could.
I sighed.
You know, humans have the shortest lifespan of any species I've ever been, except the spiders. You have so little time.
Don't you think, then?
Ian paused and leaned closer to me so that I couldn't seem to see anything around his face, just snow and sapphire and ink.
That maybe you should make the most of what time you have? That you should live while you're alive?
I didn't see it coming the way I had with Jared. Ian was not as familiar to me. Melanie realized what he was going to do before I did, just a second before his lips touched mine.
No!
It wasn't like kissing Jared. With Jared there was no thought, only desire, no control. A spark to gasoline, inevitable. With Ian I didn't even know what I felt. Everything was muddled and confused. His lips were soft and warm. He pressed them only lightly to mine, and then brushed them back and forth across my mouth.
Good or bad? He whispered against my lips.
Bad, bad, bad! I can't think. When I moved my mouth to speak, he moved his with it.
That sounds good.
His mouth pressed down with more force now. He caught my lower lip between his and pulled on it gently. Melanie wanted to hit him, so much more than she'd wanted to punch Jared. She wanted to shove him away and then kick his face. The image was horrible. It conflicted jarringly with the sensation of Ian's kiss. Please, I whispered.
Yes?
Please stop. I can't think. Please. He sat back at once, clasping his hands in front of him.
Okay, he said, his tone cautious.
I pressed my hands against my face, wishing I could push out Melanie's anger.
Well, at least nobody punched me, Ian grinned.
She wanted to do more than that. Ugh, I don't like it when she's mad. It hurts my head. Anger is so ugly.
Why didn't she?
Because I didn't lose control. She only breaks free when I'm overwhelmed.
He watched as I kneaded my forehead.
Calm down, I begged her. He's not touching me.
Has he forgotten that I'm here? Doesn't he care? This is me. It's me!
I tried to explain that.
What about you? Have you forgotten Jared?
She threw the memories at me the way she'd done in the beginning. Only this time they were like blows. A thousand punches of his smile, his eyes, his lips on mine, his hands on my skin. Of course not. Have you forgotten that you don't want me to love him?
She's talking to you.
Yelling at me,
I corrected. I can tell now. I can see you concentrate on the conversation. I never noticed before today.
She's not always this vocal.
I am sorry, Melanie, he said. I know this must be impossible for you.
Again she visualized smashing her foot into his sculpted nose, leaving it crooked like Kyle's.
Tell him I don't want his apologies, I winced.
Ian half smiled, half grimaced.
She doesn't accept.
I shook my head.
So she can break free? If you're overwhelmed?
I shrugged. Sometimes, if she takes me by surprise and I'm too emotional. Emotion makes it hard to concentrate. But it's been more difficult for her lately. It's like the door between us is locked. I don't know why. I tried to let her out when Kyle...
I stopped talking abruptly, grinding my teeth together. When Kyle tried to kill you, he finished matter-of-factly. You wanted her free? Why?
I just stared at him.
To fight him? He guessed.
I didn't answer.
He sighed. Okay, don't tell me. Why do you think the door is locked?
I frowned. I don't know. Maybe the time passing, it worries us.
But she broke through before, to punch Jared.
Yes. I shuddered at the memory of my fist striking his jaw.
Because you were overwhelmed and emotional?
Yes.
What did he do? Just kiss you?
I nodded. Ian flinched. His eyes tightened. What? I asked. What's wrong?
When Jared kisses you, you are overwhelmed by emotion.
I stared at him, worried by the expression on his face. Melanie enjoyed it. That's right. He sighed.
And when I kiss you, you aren't sure if you like it. You are not overwhelmed.
Oh, Ian was jealous. How very strange this world was. I'm sorry.
Don't be. I told you I'd give you time. And I don't mind waiting for you to think things through. I don't mind that at all.
What do you mind?
Because he minded something very much.
He took a deep breath and blew it out slowly.
I saw how you loved Jamie. That was always really obvious. I guess I should have seen that you loved Jared, too. Maybe I didn't want to. It makes sense. You came here for the two of them. You love them both, the same way Melanie did. Jamie like a brother, and Jared.
He was looking away, staring at the wall over me. I had to look away, too. I stared at the sunlight where it touched the red door.
How much of that is Melanie? He wanted to know.
I don't know. Does it matter?
I could barely hear his answer. Yes. It does to me.
Without looking at me or seeming to notice what he was doing, Ian took my hand again. It was very quiet for a minute. Even Melanie was still. That was nice. Then, as though a switch had been flipped, Ian was his normal self again. He laughed.
Time is on my side, he said, grinning. We've got the rest of our lives in here. One day you'll wonder what you ever saw in Jared.
In your dreams? I laughed with him, happy he was joking again.
Wanda? Wanda, can I come in?
Jamie's voice started from down the hall, and accompanied by the sound of his jogging steps, ended right outside the door. Of course, Jamie. I already had my hand held out to him before he shrugged the door aside. I hadn't seen him nearly enough lately. Unconscious or crippled, I hadn't been free to seek him out.
Hey, Wanda. Hey, Ian.
Jamie was all grins, his messy hair bouncing when he moved. He headed for my reaching hand, but Ian was in the way. So he settled for sitting on the edge of my mattress and resting his hand on my foot.
How are you feeling?
Better.
Hungry yet? There's beef jerky and corn on the cob. I could get you some.
I'm okay for now. How are you? I haven't seen you much lately.
Jamie made a face. Sharon gave me detention.
I smiled.
What did you do? Nothing. I was totally framed.
His innocent expression was a bit overdone, and he quickly changed the subject.
Guess what? Jared was saying at lunch that he didn't think it was fair for you to have to move out of the room you were used to. He said we weren't being good hosts. He said you should move back in with me. Isn't that great? I asked him if I could tell you right away, and he said that was a good idea. He said you would be in here.
I'll bet he did, Ian murmured.
So what do you think, Wanda? We get to be roomies again.
But, Jamie, where will Jared stay?
Wait. Let me guess, Ian interrupted. I bet he said the room was big enough for three. Am I right?
Yeah. How did you know?
Lucky guess.
So that's good, isn't it, Wanda? It will be just like before we came here.
It felt sort of like a razor sliding between my ribs when he said that. Too clean and precise a pain to be compared to a blow or a break. Jamie analyzed my tortured expression with alarm.
Oh, no, I mean, but with you too. It will be nice. The four of us, right?
I tried to laugh through the pain. It didn't hurt any worse than not laughing. Ian squeezed my hand. The four of us,
I mumbled.
Nice.
Jamie crawled up the mattress, worming his way around Ian to put his arms around my neck.
Sorry, don't be sad. Don't worry about it. You know I love you, too. So sharp. So piercing, the emotions of this planet.
Jamie had never said those words to me before. My whole body suddenly felt a few degrees warmer.
So sharp, Melanie agreed, wincing at her own pain.
Will you come back? Jamie begged against my shoulder. I couldn't answer right away.
What does Mel want? He asked.
She wants to live with you, I whispered. I didn't have to check to know that.
And what do you want?
Do you want me to live with you?
You know I do, Wanda. Please.
I hesitated.
Please?
If that's what you want, Jamie. Okay.
Woohoo!
Jamie crowed in my ear.
Cool. I'm gonna go tell Jared. I'll get you some food, too, okay?
He was already on his feet, bouncing the mattress so that I felt it in my ribs.
Okay. You want something, Ian?
Sure, kid. I want you to tell Jared he's shameless.
Huh?
Never mind. Go get Wanda some lunch.
Sure. And I'll ask Wes for his extra bed. Kyle can come back in here and everything will be like it should be.
Perfect, Ian said. And though I didn't look at his face, I knew he was rolling his eyes.
Perfect, I whispered, and felt the razor's edge again.
Chapter 39. Worried. Perfect, I grumbled to myself, just perfect. Ian was coming to join me for lunch, a big smile glued into place on his face, trying to cheer me up. Again.
I think you're overdoing the sarcasm lately, Melanie told me.
I'll keep that in mind. I hadn't heard from her much in the past week. Neither of us was good company right now. It was better if we avoided social interaction, even with each other.
Hey, Wanda,
Ian greeted me, hopping up onto the counter beside me. He had a bowl of tomato soup in one hand, still steaming. Mine was beside me, cooled and half full. I was toying with a piece of roll, ripping it into tiny pieces. I didn't answer him.
Oh, come on.
He put his hand on my knee. Mel's angry reaction was lethargic. She was too used to this kind of thing to really work up a good fit anymore.
They'll be back today, before sunset, without a doubt.
You said that 3 days ago, and 2 days ago, and again yesterday, I reminded him.
I have a good feeling about today.
Don't sulk. It's so human, he teased.
I'm not sulking.
I wasn't. I was so worried I could barely think straight. It didn't leave me energy to do anything else.
This isn't the first raid Jamie's gone on.
That makes me feel so much better.
Again with the sarcasm. Melanie was right. I really was overusing it.
He's got Jared and Jeffrey and Trudy with him. And Kyle's here, Ian laughed. So there's no way they'll get into any trouble.
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
He turned his attention to his food and let me stew. Ian was nice that way. Always trying to give me what I wanted, even when what I wanted was unclear to either of us. His insistent attempts to distract me from the present anxiety accepted, of course. I knew I didn't want that. I wanted to worry. It was the only thing I could do. It had been a month since I'd moved back into Jamie and Jared's room. For 3 weeks of that time, the four of us had lived together. Jared slept on a mattress wedged above the head of the bed where Jamie and I slept. I'd gotten used to it, the sleeping part at least. I was having a hard time sleeping now in the empty room. I missed the sound of two other bodies breathing. I hadn't gotten used to waking up every morning with Jared there. It still took me a second too long to return his morning greeting. He was not at ease either, but he was always polite. We were both very polite. It was almost scripted at this point.
Good morning, Wanda. How did you sleep?
Fine, thank you. And you?
Fine, thanks. And Mel?
She's good, too, thanks.
Jamie's constant state of euphoria and his happy chattering kept things from becoming too strained. He talked about and to Melanie often, until her name was no longer the source of stress it had once been when Jared was present. Every day it got a little bit more comfortable, the pattern of my life here a little bit more pleasant. We were sort of happy, both Melanie and I. And then a week ago, Jared had left for another short raid, mostly to replace broken tools, and taken Jamie with him.
"You tired?" Ian asked.
I realized I was rubbing at my eyes. "Not really."
"Still not sleeping well?"
"It's too quiet."
"I could sleep with you." "Oh, calm down, Melanie, you know what I meant."
Ian always noticed when Melanie's antagonism made me cringe. "I thought they were going to be back today," I challenged.
"You're right. I guess there's no need for rearranging."
I sighed.
"Maybe you should take the afternoon off."
"Don't be silly," I told him. "I've got plenty of energy for work." He grinned as though I'd said something that pleased him, something he'd been hoping I would say.
"Good. I could use some help with a project."
"What's the project?"
"I'll show you." "You finished there?"
I nodded. He took my hand as he led me out of the kitchen. Again, this was so common that Melanie barely protested. "Why are we going this way?" The eastern field did not need attention. We'd been part of the group that had irrigated it this morning. Ian didn't answer. He was still grinning. He led me down the eastern tunnel, past the field and into the corridor that led to only one place. As soon as we were in the tunnel, I could hear voices echoing, and a sporadic thud, thud, that it took me a moment to place. The stale, bitter sulfur odor helped link the sound to the memory.
"Ian, I'm not in the mood."
"You said you had plenty of energy."
"To work, not to play soccer."
"But Lily and Wes will be really disappointed. I promised them a game of 2-on-2. They worked so hard this morning to free up the afternoon."
"Don't try to make me feel guilty," I said as we rounded the last curve.
I could see the blue light of several lamps, shadows flitting in front of them.
"Isn't it working?" he teased. "Come on, Wanda. It will be good for you."
He pulled me into the low-ceilinged game room, where Lily and Wes were passing the ball back and forth across the length of the field.
"Hey, Wanda." "Hey, Ian," Lily called to us. "This one's mine, O'Shea," Wes warned him. "You're not going to let me lose to Wes, are you?" Ian murmured.
"You could beat them alone."
"It would still be a forfeit. I'd never live it down."
I sighed. "Fine, fine. Be that way." Ian hugged me with what Melanie thought was unnecessary enthusiasm.
"You're my very favorite person in the known universe."
"Thanks," I muttered dryly.
"Ready to be humiliated, Wanda?" Wes taunted. "You may have taken the planet, but you're losing this game."
Ian laughed, but I didn't respond. The joke made me uneasy. How could Wes make a joke about that? Humans were always surprising me. Melanie included. She'd been in just as miserable a mood as I was, but now she was suddenly excited. "We didn't get to play last time," she explained. I could feel her yearning to run for pleasure rather than in fear. Running was something she used to love.
"Doing nothing won't get them home any faster. A distraction might be nice."
She was already thinking strategy, sizing up our opponents. "Do you know the rules?" Lily asked me. I nodded. "I remember them." Absently, I bent my leg at the knee and grabbed my ankle behind me, pulling it to stretch out the muscles. It was a familiar position to my body. I stretched the other leg and was pleased that it felt whole. The bruise on the back of my thigh was faded yellow, almost gone. My side felt fine, which made me think that my rib had never really been broken. I'd seen my face while I was cleaning mirrors 2 weeks ago. The scar forming on my cheek was dark red, and as big as the palm of my hand, with a dozen jagged points around the edges. It bothered Melanie more than it did me.
"I'll take the goal,"
Ian told me, while Lily fell back and Wes paced beside the ball. A mismatch. Melanie liked this. Competition appealed to her. From the moment the game started, Wes kicking the ball back to Lily and then sprinting ahead to get around me for her pass, there was very little time to think, only to react and to feel. See Lily shift her body, measure the direction this would send the ball. Cut Wes off. Ah, but he was surprised by how fast I was. Launch the ball to Ian and move up the field. Lily was playing too far forward. I raced her to the lantern goalpost and won. Ian aimed the pass perfectly and I scored the first goal. It felt good. The stretch and pull of muscle, the sweat of exertion rather than plain heat, the teamwork with Ian. We were well matched. I was quick, and his aim was deadly. Wes's goading dried up before Ian scored the third goal. Lily called the game when we hit 21. She was breathing hard. Not me. I felt good, muscles warm and limber. Wes wanted another round, but Lily was done. Face it, they're better.
We got hustled.
No one ever said she couldn't play.
No one ever said she was a pro, either.
I liked that. It made me smile. Don't be a sore loser, Lily said, reaching out to tickle Wes's stomach playfully. He caught her fingers and pulled her closer to him. She laughed, tugging away, but Wes reeled her in and planted a solid kiss on her laughing mouth. Ian and I exchanged a quick, startled glance.
For you, I will lose with grace, Wes told her, and then set her free.
Lily's smooth caramel skin had taken on a bit of pink on her cheeks and neck. She peeked at Ian and me to see our reaction.
And now, Wes continued, I'm off to get reinforcements. We'll see how your little ringer does against Kyle, Ian.
He lobbed the ball into the far, dark corner of the cave where I heard it splash into the spring. Ian trotted off to retrieve it, while I continued to look at Lily curiously. She laughed at my expression, sounding self-conscious, which was unusual for her.
I know, I know.
How long has that been going on? I wondered. She grimaced.
Not my business, sorry.
It's okay. It's not a secret. How could anything be a secret here anyway? It's just really new to me. It's sort of your fault, she added, smiling to show that she was teasing me. I felt a little guilty anyway, and confused. What did I do?
Nothing, she assured me.
It was Wes's reaction to you that surprised me. I didn't know he had so much depth to him. I was never really aware of him before that. Oh, well, he's too young for me, but what does that matter here? She laughed again. It's strange how life and love go on. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, kind of funny how that happens, Ian agreed.
I hadn't heard him return. He slung his arm around my shoulders.
It's nice, though. You do know Wes has been infatuated with you since he first got here, right?
So he says.
I hadn't noticed. Ian laughed. Then you're the only one.
So, Wanda,
how about some one-on-one while we're waiting?
I could feel Melanie's wordless enthusiasm. Okay. He let me have the ball first, holding back, hugging the goal area. My first shot cut between him and the post, scoring. I rushed him when he kicked off and got the ball back. I scored again.
He's letting us win, Mel grumbled. Come on, Ian. Play.
I am.
Tell him he's playing like a girl.
Playing like a girl. He laughed and I slipped the ball away from him again. The taunt wasn't enough. I had an inspiration then, and I shot the ball through his goal, guessing it would probably be the last time I got to do it. Mel objected.
I don't like this idea.
I'll bet it works, though. I put the ball back at center field. You win, and you can sleep in my room while they're gone. I needed a good night's rest.
First to 10.
With a grunt, he launched the ball past me so hard that it rebounded off the distant invisible wall behind my goal and came back to us. I looked at Lily. Was that wide?
No, it looked dead center to me.
1-3, Ian announced.
It took him 15 minutes to win, but at least I got to really work. I even squeezed in one more goal, of which I was proud. I was gasping for air when he stole the ball from me and sailed it through my goalposts for the last time. He wasn't winded.
10-4, I win.
Good game,
I huffed.
Tired? He asked, the innocence in his tone a bit overdone. Being funny. He stretched.
I think I'm ready for bed myself.
He leered in a melodramatic way. I winced.
Oh, Mel, you know I'm joking. Be nice.
Lily eyed us, mystified.
Jared's Melanie objects to me, Ian told her, winking.
Her eyebrows rose.
That's interesting. I wonder what's taking Wes so long, Ian muttered, not taking much notice of her reaction. Should we go find out? I could use some water.
Me too,
I agreed.
Bring some back.
Lily didn't move from where she was half sprawled on the floor. As we entered the narrow tunnel, Ian threw one arm lightly around my waist.
You know, he said, it's really unfair for Melanie to make you suffer when she's angry at me.
Since when are humans fair?
Good point.
Besides, she'd be glad to make you suffer if I'd let her. He laughed.
That's nice about Wes and Lily, don't you think? He said.
Yes. They both seem very happy. I like that.
I like it, too. Wes finally got the girl. Gives me hope.
He winked at me.
You think Melanie would make you very uncomfortable if I were to kiss you right now?
I stiffened for a second, then took a deep breath. Probably.
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
Ian sighed.
We heard Wes shouting at the same time. His voice came from the end of the tunnel, getting closer with every word.
They're back! Wanda, they're back!
It took me less than a second to process, and then I was sprinting. Behind me, Ian mumbled something about wasted effort. I nearly knocked Wes down. Where? I gasped.
In the plaza.
And I was off again. I flew into the big garden room with my eyes already searching. It wasn't hard to find them. Jamie was standing at the front of a group of people near the entrance to the southern tunnel.
Hey, Wanda! He yelled, waving.
Trudy held his arm as I ran around the edges of the field, as if she were holding him back from running to meet me. I grabbed his shoulders with both hands and pulled him to me.
Oh, Jamie, did you miss me? Just a tiny bit. Where is everyone? Is everyone home? Is everyone okay?
Besides Jamie, Trudy was the only person here who was back from the raid. Everyone else in the little crowd, Lucina, Ruth Ann, Kyle, Travis, Violetta, Reed, was welcoming them home.
Everyone's back and well, Trudy assured me.
My eyes swept the big cave.
Where are they?
Getting cleaned up, unloading.
I wanted to offer my help, anything that would get me to where Jared was so that I could see with my own eyes that he was safe, but I knew I wouldn't be allowed to see where the goods were coming in. You look like you need a bath, I told Jamie, rumpling his dirty, knotted hair without letting go of him.
He's supposed to go lie down, Trudy said.
Trudy,
Jamie muttered, giving her a dark look. Trudy glanced at me quickly, then looked away.
Lie down?
I stared at Jamie, pulling away to get a good look at him. He didn't seem tired. His eyes were bright, and his cheeks flushed under his tan. My eyes raked over him once and then froze on his right leg. There was a ragged hole in his jeans a few inches above his knee. The fabric around the hole was a dark reddish-brown, and the ominous color spread in a long stain all the way to the cuff.
Blood,
Melanie realized with horror.
Jamie, what happened?
Thanks, Trudy.
She was going to notice soon enough. Come on, we'll talk while you limp.
Trudy put her arm under his and helped him hop forward one slow step at a time, keeping his weight on his left leg.
"Jamie, tell me what happened."
I put my arm around him from the other side, trying to carry as much of his weight as I could.
"It's really stupid and totally my fault, and it could have happened here. Tell me,"
he sighed.
"I tripped with a knife in my hand."
I shuddered. "Shouldn't we be taking you the other way? You need to see Doc."
"That's where I'm coming from. That's where we went first."
"What did Doc say?"
"It's fine. He cleaned it and bandaged it and said to go lie down."
"And have you walk all this way? Why didn't you stay in the hospital?"
Jamie made a face and glanced up at Trudy like he was looking for an answer. "Jamie will be more comfortable on his bed," she suggested.
"Yeah,"
he agreed quickly.
"Who wants to lie around on one of those awful cots?"
I looked at them and then behind me. The crowd was gone. I could hear their voices echoing back down the southern corridor.
"What was that about?" Mel wondered warily.
It occurred to me that Trudy wasn't a much better liar than I was. When she'd said the others from the raid were unloading and cleaning up, there was a false note to her voice. I thought I remembered her eyes flickering to the right, back toward that tunnel.
"Hey, kid."
"Hey, Trudy."
Ian had caught up to us.
"Hi, Ian,"
they greeted him at the same time.
"What happened here?"
"Fell on a knife," Jamie grunted, ducking his head.
Ian laughed. "I don't think it's funny," I told him, my voice tight. Melanie, frantic with worry in my head, imagined slapping him. I ignored her.
"Could happen to anybody," Ian said, planting a light punch on Jamie's arm.
"Right,"
Jamie muttered.
"Where's everybody?"
I watched Trudy from the corner of my eye as she answered him.
"They, had some unloading to finish up."
This time her eyes moved toward the southern tunnel very deliberately, and Ian's expression hardened, turned enraged for half a second. Then Trudy glanced back at me and caught me watching.
"Distract them," Melanie whispered.
I looked down at Jamie quickly. "Are you hungry?" I asked him.
"Yeah." "When aren't you hungry?" Ian teased.
His face was relaxed again. He was better at deception than Trudy. When we reached our room, Jamie sank gratefully onto the big mattress.
"You sure you're okay?"
I checked.
"It's nothing, really. Doc says I'll be fine in a few days."
I nodded, though I was not convinced.
"I'm going to go clean up," Trudy murmured as she left.
Ian propped himself against the wall, going nowhere.
"Keep your face down when you lie," Melanie suggested.
"Ian?" I stared intently at Jamie's bloody leg.
"Do you mind getting us some food? I'm hungry, too."
"Yeah, get us something good."
I could feel Ian's eyes on me, but I didn't look up.
"Okay," he agreed. "I'll be back in just a second."
He emphasized the short time. I kept my gaze down as if I were examining the wound until I heard his footsteps fade.
"You aren't mad at me?" Jamie asked.
"Of course not."
"I know you didn't want me to go."
"You're safe now, that's all that matters."
I patted his arm absent-mindedly. Then I got to my feet and let my hair, now chin-length, fall forward to hide my face.
"I'll be right back. I forgot something I wanted to tell Ian."
"What?"
he asked, confused by my tone.
"You'll be okay here by yourself?"
"Course I will," he retorted, sidetracked.
I ducked out around the screen before he could ask anything else. The hall was clear, Ian out of sight. I had to hurry. I knew he was already suspicious. He'd noticed that I'd noticed Trudy's awkward and artificial explanation. He wouldn't be gone long. I walked quickly but didn't run as I moved through the big plaza, purposeful, as if I were on an errand. There were only a few people there. Reed headed for the passageway that led to the bathing pool. Ruth Ann and Heidi paused by the eastern corridor, chatting, Lily and Wes, their backs to me, holding hands. No one paid me any attention. I stared ahead as if I were not focused on the southern tunnel, only turning in at the very last second. As soon as I was in the pitch black of the corridor, I sped up, jogging along the familiar path. Some instinct told me this was the same thing, that this was a repeat of the last time Jared and the others had come home from a raid, and everyone was sad, and Doc had gotten drunk, and no one would answer my questions. It was happening again, whatever I wasn't supposed to know about. What I didn't want to know about, according to Ian. I felt prickles on the back of my neck. Maybe I didn't want to know. Yes, you do. We both do. I'm frightened. Me too. I ran as quietly as I could down the dark tunnel. Chapter 40. Horrified. I slowed when I heard the sound of voices. I was not close.